We read in our story, Matthew 26, about a man called Judas Iscariot. Now, this particular topic is going to be very challenging to understand. We're going to try to understand how this works out, why this story was included at all. Well, Matthew 26, 14 to 16 describes in three verses a little bit about Judas. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Well, the story of Judas Iscariot is included in all the Gospels. How do we understand this story? The best thing to do is to look at it as a story that serves as a cautionary tale. What is a cautionary tale? In other words, it's a story that has got lessons for us to learn so that we can learn caution. And that is why we call it a cautionary tale. Right? So first, we go into the calling of Judas Iscariot. Now, the calling of this Judas Iscariot was mentioned in three different Gospels. We call it the Synoptic Gospels. Mark 3, Matthew 10, Luke 6. In these different chapters in different Gospels, they have the same calling of the Lord Jesus Christ for his 12 apostles. So he was actually named as one of the apostles, right? So he was given the privilege of being called to be a disciple, to be an apostle, and appointed as such, empowered, sent forth to preach. In fact, he had one extra privilege. He was also the treasurer of the band of disciples. Now, how do we understand this particular story? First, let's look at the external and then the internal part of it. That will give us a little bit better understanding. So externally, what we see is the fact that the Lord's grace and mercy was greatly extended to Judas Iscariot. There's no mistaking that grace and that mercy and that love and compassion the Lord extended to him as a friend, as a disciple, as an entrusted apostle. That's the external part of it, right? But on the internal part, as we look at the life of Judas Iscariot, what we need to look for would be a repentance from sin. For example, you read in Luke 5 of how Peter was once upon a time a fisherman, and then the Lord Jesus asked to borrow his boat and then caught a great shoal of fish. And Peter realized who the Lord Jesus was, and he cried out, "Lord, I am a sinful man." And the Lord Jesus comforted him and said, "Don't worry, today from here onwards, you will catch men." So there was a consciousness of sin, there was repentance from sin, and that becomes very obvious. But this was certainly missing in the life of Judas Iscariot. Right? In order to understand what it means to have a calling from the Lord, what it means to be chosen by the Lord, one must first become regenerate, born again. In other words, we need to be born as a child of God all over again. Otherwise, you're not going to go very far. So you can have an external calling, but there may not be an inward work of grace inside. And that is important, right? So what went wrong? Now, this is important for us. I'm going to make a list of arguments for you to think about. Of the things that actually went wrong in the case of Judas Iscariot, right? So I'm going to make a very strong case on this matter here. First, I really believe he was never a true believer. And this is where it works. And this is very important for us to understand. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, the Lord said to the prophet, "Let grace be shown to the wicked, and he will still not learn righteousness. Even in the land of righteousness, uprightness, he will still practice wickedness." That is the problem. He was never a true believer. Now, that is something that we want to take note of, right? So the Lord brought him in to help us realize an important lesson. A person may be following on the outside externally, but there may not be an internal work of grace. That's important. Second, he was a deceiver. Right? He managed to deceive all his fellow disciples except the Lord. So he would appear to be just like all the others. He would appear to be interested. He would appear to be supportive. He would appear to have learned. He might even be able to enter into discussion with all the disciples. But this was therefore not true in his life. So we call him a deceiver. Right? In John chapter 6 and verse 17, right? We read that the Lord Jesus knew who would betray him. And we read, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Have I not chosen you? And one of you is of the devil." So did the Lord know that Judas would one day betray him? Answer, yes. But such was his friendship, such was his love, such was his compassion, such was his grace and mercy. He still included Judas. But let grace be shown to Judas, and he will still not learn what it means to respond to God. He will follow his own wicked ways. Right? In John chapter 12, verse 6, John made a notation that Judas was in fact a thief. Now, this was written, of course, looking backwards. Right? So they probably was able to examine the books, and they realized that John realized that, in fact, Judas had been a thief. He was not making all the right entries. Things were missing. So John 12, 6 reminds us that Judas was a thief. And then in Luke 22, verse 9, we read of how Satan entered into his heart. Now, it does not mean that he's possessed, like we read in possession in the other Gospels. Right? He did not become mute. He was not a person who suffered from epileptic seizures. He was not a person who lived among the tombs. Those were bad expressions of demon possession. But nevertheless, Satan entered into his heart. And that was to control him, to control his heart, to harden him, to enter into his thoughts, into his feelings, into who he was. That's how Satan influenced Judas. And that is important for us to take note of. Right? So in John 13, verse 27, we take note of the fact that John noted again that Satan was there. Right? The evil one had put into Judas' heart to betray the Lord Jesus. So when you look at all of these things that went wrong with Judas Iscariot, then you begin to realize how great was the grace and mercy and love and compassion the Lord Jesus had shown to him. Right? So this is, we ask ourselves whether we can understand and appreciate this. So what are lessons can we learn from all of these things here? First lesson that we must learn is a very sobering one. And the fact is, the heart can be very, very deceitful. Right? We can pretend to be following, we can pretend to be learning, we can pretend to be a good, we can pretend a lot of ways in front of people, we can behave very, very well. But deep down in our heart, we may not actually believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be very careful about this. Right? Number two, sometimes the heart hides a lot of sinful and evil thoughts and activities. Nobody will know what we think. Nobody will be able to tell what we did in the dark. But this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. The heart is capable of great sinfulness and great evil. We need to be certain. We need to be candid with the state of our heart. Right? So what happens when sin is allowed to have free play in our life? If we don't control sin, sin will control us. Obviously, sin, the book of Romans chapter 6 reminds us, is that it seeks to dominate our life. Sin will seek to be the king in our lives, and it will control and it will affect the mind, it will affect the heart, it will affect the behavior, it will cause evil deeds to occur. And this is a reality of it all, right? So we need to learn some of these sobering lessons because they are very real, right? So sometimes we think, well, you know, we are so young, how can the evil one attack us like that? Well, the reality of it all is yes, he can, and he will, given half a chance, right? So we need to understand this. So as we look at this idea here, and one of the sad realities that we don't really understand is the fact that the evil one, Satan himself, can actually be involved. Then, of course, he's not just going to be involved in tempting a person. The biggest danger is that he can enter into the heart. The biggest danger is that he will actually end up controlling the believer. And because of that, great damage can be done. Great damage will be sustained. And that becomes a very, very special thing that we need to take note of. At the end of it all, Judas ruined his own life. Now, as we read Matthew 26, there are many, many personal thoughts that come to my own heart and mind as I remember reading the story many years ago when I was much younger. My prayer to the Lord was that I may never end up being a traitor, never end up being a betrayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, that was the first response that I made personally to God. Lord, help me never to do that. I would rather die ahead of time than to betray the Lord Jesus at any time. That was my prayer. Right? Second, as I look at the life of Judas, I begin to realize how easy it is to actually walk in his footsteps, right? Because all the time what he was doing was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ from the outside. He was following the Lord Jesus Christ externally. So he was among his friends. He was among his colleagues. He was among the fellow disciples. He was serving the Lord actually in many ways. So the distribution of bread, feeding of the 5,000, he was there. Feeding of the 4,000, he was there. Making arrangements for this and that. Judas was involved in all of these things here. But at the end of it all, it was his avarice. It was his greed that got him. And the danger is very real. Sometimes we are greedy, we are avaricious, and we are covetous of a lot of things. And those things are going to place us in great danger. And without realizing it, many people, because of the greed, because of the lust for the world, because of covetousness, they have lost their standing in faith. They've lost their good regard for the Lord, and they have basically walked away from God. So we may not end up betraying the Lord Jesus in the same way that Judas did, but we still run into the danger of ending up being a false disciple, of ending up being a traitor, of ending up deserting the Lord, of ending up being dishonor and disgrace to the name of the Lord. And then, you know, we find it so hard to come back to the Lord. Did Judas ever come back to the Lord? No. How did he end his life? In remorse, in regret, and he ended up with suicide. And that is a sad reality, a sad outcome that was so very basically unnecessary. So as we look at the life of Judas Iscariot, as we consider all the things that we read and that he did, we begin to realize that a lot of the actions that Judas, in this case here, when he went to the chief priests, it was all on his own. We read, he asked the people, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? This was not called for by the chief priests. This was initiative taken by Judas. What was his concern? Money. 30 pieces of silver. Well, when he served the Lord in 3 years of ministry, remember, the disciples were not paid for their work. So they did not receive any salary for 3 years, basically. But it was meant to be a life of faith, of trusting the Lord. They were meant to be happy because they were in the presence of the Lord. They were doing good things. The Lord provided for all their needs, but they don't have money in their pockets. Well, Judas wanted money. And if 30 pieces of silver may not seem like a lot, but to a person who doesn't have much money, it will be like a lot of money. And he loved money. And so the danger is very real. The love for money becomes literally a very, very evil thing. And it will become the root of all evil after a while. And it became his evil in his life. So let's learn from this lesson of Judas Iscariot and pray that God will help us to stay pure and faithful and true to our faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will give to us that grace and mercy to be honest with ourselves. Cleanse us from all the sins that make us deceptive, that make us sinful. We pray that you will cleanse us from this grave sin of betraying our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Teach us how to be faithful and true to our Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.